We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. George Barna has said, "A church that strives to evangelize its community without saturating its efforts in prayer is like a race car driver that jumps into a car at the starting line and discovers that the tank has not been filled with gas." R.A. Torrey said, "The most important human factor in effective evangelism is prayer." Now, I talked about this about a year ago, and you're going to hear a few of the same things I said a year ago, but also some other things about those opportunities that we need to be praying about. As followers of Jesus Christ, we see, or hopefully we see, the urgent need to spread the gospel in our decaying culture. And we realize that without prayer, nothing is ever going to change. And hopefully over the course of this past year, we've been able to see the connection between those two realities, the lostness of our nation and the world, and the importance of prayer in reaching those who are unsaved. The Bible speaks of the fact that reaching the lost is a priority to God. It's the reason He sent His Son to this earth. We are praying for the lost every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. When we say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are asking that God's desire for the lost to come to Him in repentance and faith would be realized. Praying, "Your will be done," involves more than asking for the lost to be saved, but it is certainly not less than that. And in 1 Timothy 2 that we're going to be looking at, in Romans chapter 10, Colossians chapter 4, they're all passages written by Paul expressing how he is praying for those who are lost, or asking for people to pray for him as he shares the gospel with those who are lost. When we pray for those who don't have a relationship with Christ, it prepares our heart, the heart of the witness. That's Ephesians chapter 6, 18 and 19 speaks of that. And it prepares the heart of the one who's going to be hearing the message. That is 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. How desperate their heart needs to be prepared to hear the message. Now, about 100 people have been a prayer partner throughout this year. Started that back in January. You each brought two people that you're praying for who are lost to that prayer partnership. You've been praying for one nation together over the course of this year. Well, in this message, I want to walk through some passages again to remind us of that importance of the connection between prayer and evangelism. And it's important that we see the full picture of what the Bible says on this topic. Let's begin with 1 Timothy 2. "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." Now, why should we pray for the lost? Why should you pray for people you know who don't have a relationship with Christ? Well, first of all, we should pray for them because of the love of God. Because of the love of God. The best known verse in the Bible assures us that God truly cares for those who don't know Him, who don't have a relationship with Him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but would have eternal life." Even people who know very, very little about the Bible know this verse. But far fewer know the following verse, which is, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Taken together, these two verses tell us that God's love motivated Him to send His Son to the world. His purpose is not to condemn the world, but to save it through the sacrifice, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Timothy 2 that we just read earlier tells us even more about God's love. and his desire for all people. If you look at verses 3 and 4 again. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, when Paul says all, he means all without exception. When Peter says anyone, he doesn't mean some, but not others. God takes no pleasure in the death of those who are lost. He truly wants them to come to faith. And he waits patiently, giving men and women more time to come to him in repentance. God loves the world. And he wants the lost to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. Second, we should pray for the lost because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus came for the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke chapter 19. And he died to provide a way of salvation for the whole human race. We read earlier, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. Third, we should pray for the lost because of the example that Paul set for us. Paul writes about how he prays for his Jewish friends and neighbors and relatives. He said, "Brothers, my heart's desire in prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." If Paul felt so concerned about his relatives, his friends, for his own people to be saved, shouldn't we do the same? And then fourth, we should pray for the lost because of their condition. The New Testament, in many different places, reveals to us how hopeless and how helpless the lost are without Christ. They are blind. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers." They cannot see the light of the gospel. They are captive to Satan. We should pray that unbelievers might escape from the trap of the devil who has taken him captive to do his will. They are condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. They are dead. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Phil Nelson talked about this, especially on Friday night. He spent a lot of time on this Friday night in that session, talking about how people are dead without Christ. We are dealing with dead people. That's why we need to pray for them. They are helpless. "No one can come to me," Jesus said, "unless the Father who sent me draws him." They cannot come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws them. They are hopeless, without hope and without God in this world, Ephesians chapter 2. They are without understanding. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we could take 30 minutes and have a whole sermon on any one of those things. But taken together, they show how desperate the situation is for those without Christ. They are blind and they think they can see. They are dead, they think they are alive. They are captive and they think they are free. They are helpless and they think they can do anything. They are without understanding. They think they know everything. They are condemned to hell and they think they are going to heaven. Their condition is so hopeless that without divine intervention, without the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, there is no help and there is no salvation. So what's the answer? We have to pray for the lost, that God will open their eyes, give life in place of death, enable them to hear, create within them a desire to understand, give them a hunger for Jesus, draw them to Jesus Christ. Before we do the work of evangelism, we need to pray that God will go before us, that he will do his work. With that as the background, we come to the question, if the lost are truly in need of our prayers, and they are, how should we pray? How should we pray? Well, the answer comes in two parts, and I'm going to spend most of the time on this first part. First, we need to pray for Christians to speak to the lost. And then we need to pray for the lost that God would do his work in them so that they might believe and be saved. So let's talk about how we need to pray for ourselves and for one another, for Christians to speak to the lost. We need to pray for workers. This is the most basic prayer. Matthew chapter 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask, pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We should pray that God will raise up more workers, more evangelists, more people to share Christ, more missionaries who will take the gospel to the lost around the world. Second, we need to pray for boldness. Paul says this very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Now, I would guess any of us who have sought to share our faith, we've been in those potential witnessing situations where, well, just to put it bluntly, we have just chickened out under pressure. And later, we've regretted it. Maybe we were intimidated. Maybe we were worried what others would think. Maybe we feared that we would make somebody mad. Maybe we felt tongue-tied. But it's happened to all of us, which is why we need to pray for ourselves and we need to pray for one another that we would be bold in proclaiming the gospel, that we would not be timid, but that Christ would give us the words and that they would flow as we speak to that person. And then I must spend some time right here. We need to pray for opportunities. Pray for opportunities. Sometimes we just need to pray that God will create an opportunity where there is not one. We should pray for God to give us an open door to speak our faith boldly, respectfully, graciously, kindly, courageously. Paul said, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Where is Troy Rice? Troy, would you begin to come up? When no opportunity exists to share our faith on the job or with family, with friends, we need to pray that God will give us that chance. And I want to give you two examples. The wrong way to pray, and then the right way to pray. Now, Troy is not the example of the wrong way, okay? He's going to give us the right example in just a minute. Let me tell you a story first. Too many of us are like a Christian who got on a city bus. He was empty. He walked all the way to the back, and he sat down, and he prayed, Lord, if you want me to speak to somebody about you today, would you please give me a sign? Well, the next stop, one person got on. This man walks all the way to the back of the bus, and he sits down next to the Christian. And the Christian looks at him, and he prays, Lord, if you want me to share the gospel with this person, would you please give me a very clear sign? And after he prayed, the passenger looked at him and said, do you know anything about Jesus? And the Christian looked at him for a minute, and he said, excuse me for just a moment. And he bows his head again very slowly. He said, Lord, if you really want me to talk to this stranger, I need just one more sign. Turn the bus driver into an armadillo. Now, too often that's what we do. We pray for armadillos. We're waiting for a sign from God we hope will never come because we don't want to really share our faith. Now, Troy prays for those opportunities, and he talked about one Wednesday, and I said, okay, you're part of the sermon. So, after I heard him Wednesday, I said, I want you to share this as an example. And so, Troy, if you'll talk about what we talked about Wednesday night.
So, first of all, I would have to tell you that I do not believe in coincidences, and you probably won't either after this. You probably already don't. Many of you know that I retired in January and in May, took a job with Weininger's delivering water, part-time job, only 65, 70 hours a week. You all know how the Weininger's like to work. So while I'm driving that water truck or sitting under the tower and it's getting filled, I see these school buses going back and forth in Dunlap. And I thought, never thought, but there's so many things that go on during the summer with school buses. Never thought a thing of it. Fast forward to the mission trip, get back from the mission trip, water business has slowed down a little. I'm thinking, gosh, I got to find something to do a couple hours a day. I only want a couple hours a day. Wonder if Dunlap would, you know, need a driver for a couple hours a day. Call them on a Thursday. The guy basically hires me on the phone, says, can you take a class on a Saturday? I start training and driving. This is 2 weeks before school start. It takes about a month to train a driver. I had most of the endorsements I needed, so I was able to drive on the first day of school. The day before the first day of school, and you can call all that coincidence if you want, the day before the first day of school, I get assigned a route. And it just happens to be on Carriage Lane over here where we've been having all of our block parties. All the kids walk out, all the apartment kids walk out. Coincidence? You can answer that question. So time goes. Wednesday, I went to work, and there was a guy that was a little late for work, and I just happened to walk in the door, and he happened to be a monitor, and he's a new hire, so he didn't know, you know, right things to do and wrong things to do as we go on this conversation. So they said, ride with Troy. So I've got an 84-passenger bus, almost fully loaded. I stop at Dunlap High School, drop off the high school kids, still have about 60 kids on the bus, and they're drilling this new guy, right? Where do you live? What do you do? Is this the only job you have? All that. And they ask him if it was the only job he had, and he said, no, I'm a part-time youth minister at a small church in Bartonville. And this little girl says, oh, sixth grade girl, oh, so since you're a pastor, you automatically go to heaven, right? And Ed looks up at me, and I look at Ed, and he didn't know what to say. He didn't know if he should say. So I said, let me tell you what I believe, okay? I believe that the Bible is real and the Bible is true. I don't believe any more of what the Bible says, and I don't believe any less of what the Bible says. And I believe that if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will be introduced to God's Son, and you'll know it's God's Son by the miracles that he does, and you will know that he'll come alive in your heart if you read it with an open mind. So I encourage you to get a Bible. You can look it up online, whatever, read whatever, and just read it, and if you got any questions, talk to me later. Open the door, kids get off the bus, end of story. Is all that a coincidence or not? I'll let you answer that question, but I don't think it is.
So when you pray for opportunities, that's what can happen. Don't pray for God to turn your bus driver into an armadillo. But when you pray and those opportunities come up, and that man was new, he wasn't sure what he could say, and Troy knew, hey, they've opened the door. They've asked the question. I can answer that question and just say what I believe. And that's exactly what he did. So pray for those opportunities. And then the last thing is pray for clarity. Paul mentions this in Colossians chapter 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Clarity means presenting the gospel in a way that makes sense to those who hear it. You're saying, Lord, help me to speak your truth in a way that they will understand this, that they will grasp it. So, as I mentioned, you also need to pray specifically for the lost. And last year I did preach on that, and I gave you this last year. It's 11 different ways you can pray for lost people. These are here again, up front. I'm just going to leave them for you. I'm not going to go through them, but these are 11 different ways, front and back, that you can pray specifically for those folks you know who are lost. So take those and run with those and use them. Look, the Holy Spirit will use us if we make ourselves available, just like Troy did. His desire is to use us. Romans chapter 10 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? And that's not just standing up here preaching, but just telling them the Word of God. How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Acts 2 says, God's Spirit will empower us to speak the gospel to others. So what else do we need to do? What else do we need to do in preparation? Well, in praying for ourselves, we need to pray for God's Spirit to search our own hearts. Phil talked about this a little bit Friday night and Saturday night, or Saturday morning as well, that we need to be a clean instrument that God can use. So we need to confess, forsake all known sin. Stephen led us to a passage that we can use, that we can pray, God, show me my sin, and then I need to repent, I need to forsake, I need to walk away from that. We need to pray that we will be sensitive to God's work around us. We need to pray for those open doors to share Jesus, and we need to pray that we will have spiritual eyes. I'm going to preach on that next Sunday. How do we develop evangelistic eyes? Let me talk about opportunities again that Troy mentioned. Colossians 4, pray for us that God will open that door for our message, that we might proclaim the mystery of Christ. Paul prayed for that open door for the Word. It's like he's standing outside, and it's like all of us are standing outside somebody's heart. We've got the gospel, but it's like there's a locked door. It's a locked door. If you ever read the book, The Hobbit, in one part of that, Bilbo and the dwarves are trying to get into Lonely Mountain. And they've got clues as to how to get in there. But, you know, they push on it. They run into it. You know, the door is not opening. Nothing's happening. It's a formidable mountain, and nothing is happening. And then finally, they're ready to give up. And as the book says, the last light of Durin's day, like sunset, it shines on the keyhole. And Bilbo was able to open that door, and they enter the mountain. What seemed to be impossible for so long suddenly became easy because the door was opened. In the same way in evangelism, we are standing outside a locked human heart. It is a formidable mountain. And we are not going to open it with any human exertion, with any human argument, with anything else that we can say. So what is left to do? Pray. Pray. We need to pray that God would open the door for the gospel. Pray that God will grant us opportunities with the gospel, that they will hear with that open heart. One man wrote that he regularly prays, Lord, give me an opportunity to tell someone else about the gospel today, and please don't be subtle. God, make it very clear. This is that opportunity. We can pray that. God, make it very clear so that I see it. I'm not blind to it. I don't miss it. How do we recognize them? I mean, without praying for a human being to be turned into an armadillo. Well, it's like this. Say you're in a market for a new vehicle and you suddenly decide, you know, I think what I'm going to buy is a white van. I don't know why in the world you do that, but you might want to do that. You buy a white van. I want to buy a white van. So once you've decided that and you're driving around every day, you know what you see everywhere you look? White vans. It's happened to all of us, hasn't we? We decide, hey, I think that's the kind of car I want to look for, and you see them everywhere. If we begin to pray for those evangelistic opportunities, pray for them every single day, pray for them throughout the day, they're going to be on our minds, and we're going to see them everywhere because we've been praying for them. And that's on our mind. It's on our mind, just like a white van. Please remember, you came to know Jesus Christ because somebody prayed for you. It might have been a godly mother or father or a friend who witnessed to you. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been a youth pastor. It might have been a deacon. It could have been a missionary. It could have been a fellow student. It could have been a coworker. But someone cared enough to pray for you to come to Jesus Christ. Somebody prayed for your spiritual blindness to be removed, that you would be drawn to Jesus Christ, that you would turn from sin and turn toward Jesus Christ. If somebody prayed for you when you were lost, won't you do the same for somebody else who needs to know Jesus Christ? I truly believe that God earnestly desires that everyone would be saved. And he has done everything necessary for everybody to be saved. He sent his son. He has died on the cross to pay for our sins. He has risen from the dead. The lost do not have to die in their sins. We can say to the world, God loves you. And we can point to the cross, we can point to the empty tomb as evidence, as proof of God's love. Those who trust Christ are saved, so we can invite anybody and everybody to know Jesus Christ. Let me add this one last word. If you do not know Jesus Christ, God wants you to be saved. He desires that you would repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So don't delay. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come to Jesus Christ. Ask for his forgiveness. Ask him to give you eternal life. Ask him to give you new life. Ask him to save you, to make you a child of God. Come to Christ and he will do that. So let's pray for the lost. Pray and keep on praying. Do not give up. Never, never, never give up. Let's keep on praying as long as God gives us the breath to pray. And when we finally get to heaven, we will discover that God used our prayers in ways that we cannot even imagine today. May God give us faith to keep on praying until that day comes. Let's pray. Father, do your work in us so that we pray for those opportunities, that we pray that we would proclaim the gospel clearly. We pray that we will proclaim the gospel fearlessly and give us those eyes to see. Father, do your work in us so that we become the people who share the gospel that you desire us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.